This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Ken Zuckerberg, Director of Global Research with CHS, describes trends contributing to volatility in agriculture. Ken, agriculture has always been a commodity-driven business. Is there more volatility today than 5 to 10 years ago?
Well, first, good morning, Jesse. Great to be with you. Unfortunately, the answer is both yes and no. Generally speaking, there is more volatility now in both ag and energy commodities during this post-COVID period than we saw during the, call it, 5 years prior to that. However, at present, markets have actually discounted or gotten used to several of the recent political and geopolitical shocks, namely Russia-Ukraine, the Middle East conflicts, and tension related to China. So there's still a lot of volatility. But some of the most recent shocks we saw driving oil prices super high and fertilizer prices super high because of Russia-Ukraine, they've actually come down a little bit.
Well, talk a little bit more. What are the major trends creating uncertainty in agriculture right now?
So we see five trends really impacting the U.S. and global ag space. And these trends we think are going to persist for quite some time. First is higher inflation and interest rates. In our opinion, these will stay likely higher for longer, if not indefinitely. We have a structurally higher level of inflation. And when you think about what the Federal Reserve has said and is saying, we believe that the neutral rate of inflation is no longer in the 2% range, but probably more in the 3 or 3.5% range. That being said, Jesse, the good news is that when you look at long-term averages, the current level of interest rates are actually more normalized and manageable than most people recognize. And the proof of the pudding there is that when you think about yields on certificate of deposits and safe treasury yields, the fact that you can get, you know, call it 5, 5.5% on AAA money, AAA investments, that's actually a good thing. So we've been here before and we can manage through. Second trend is geopolitical instability. I touched upon that a little before. Must tell you, in 37 years of analyzing markets and companies and different sectors, this is the most volatile period that I have ever seen. And it's arguably one of the most pressing concerns facing the future of global ag trade. Now, the good news is, while America still holds considerable economic and military power, and the U.S. dollar remains the world's key transactional currency, the bad news is that America's influence on global security and democratic thinking is under threat. We see that in the most recent conflict related to the Middle East, when, you know, there are different opinions about what is right and wrong. Domestic politics, that's the third one. Here, I would say that the 2024 election will be a closely watched event between the two major parties, who comes out, who doesn't win, who may win. The real issue here, though, and I think the important point for farmers, ranchers, and rural communities really has to do with the timing and the eventual passage of a new farm bill, the potential for new trade tariffs, and certainly, you know, whether or not existing government policies on biofuels and climate initiatives and carbon sequestration, whether all those change or persist. Two more of the five trends: China. China is undergoing a series of economic and structural changes that will impact long-term demand for ag products. Some of the key issues here relate to lower economic growth. Jesse, as you know, they haven't recovered as strong post-COVID as other economies, including ours. The other thing is they have an aging population, and both of these things have an issue. They have a, if you will, a depressing effect on ag demand. Fifth and finally is weather volatility. Here, we've seen an increased frequency and severity related to weather events. There's been volatile temperatures, droughts, torrential rains. Notwithstanding what we expect often to be changes from El Nino and La Nina, not La Nina, what we've seen is just unpredictable shocks, both cold and warm, that impact ag production.
Well, Ken, do you see any indication volatility could stabilize?
So in some cases, I do. You know, volatility is one of those situations that are, it's a function of expectations. It's a function of sort of black swans, things that we don't see that come into the markets. What I would say is the last 6 months in the Middle East has had less of an upward move on energy prices than most people, including me, would expect. So what I say to that, Jesse, is part of the world is sort of looking at a situation where the world is getting used to more of these shock events. So by definition, we see less volatility relative to what we ordinarily would see as expected. And maybe the answer there is the world is just more risky. That being said, the function of the capital markets and the hedging markets by having more participants in future markets, that tends to ease sort of the level of swings that you would ordinarily see. And I think, you know, at least from that standpoint, you know, always looking for some good news here. The fact that we do have market participants, both commercials and non-commercials involved in the grain and fertilizer markets, that helps temper some of what you might think about extreme commodity price volatility.
What strategies can farmers implement to manage risk?
So this is one of those topics where I'll go off script a little bit, Jesse, and think about just good strategies to manage any business, right? So the first is having the right mindset and understanding that, you know, the new normal, if you will, may involve higher interest rates, higher levels of inflation, and more expert execution. So what I mean by that, when you think about managing risk, is you have to realize that agriculture is a cyclical business that typically has two or three very strong years and a period of five or six, maybe seven, not so strong years. So first is understand, you know, what pond you're fishing in, right? And whether or not there's fish in that pond or not. Second, you really have to think about the fact that the rate of change across technology innovation is been quicker in the past 5-10 years than probably in the previous 150. So do yourself a favor and evaluate those tools that can add value to your operation, be it, you know, assisting with the labor challenge, helping price your product more effectively, and or, you know, just understanding market forces. And then I think it also makes sense, since, you know, the business of farming really is a business, to think about, you know, strategic planning, to think about having some trusted outside advisors, as well as internal staff that can help you farm better. Jesse, you probably heard me in the past talk about, you know, coming from another industry, I followed financials for a long time. When I think about farming for yield, I understand it, but if prices go down, higher yield is only going to compound the problem. So I always think about farming along the efficient frontier of profit. You know, what is it that you're planting with the correct use of inputs to, you know, produce the highest return on your capital invested in the farm? So I think that gets back to the mindset and also a philosophy of, you know, that investment outside is your investment. Just generating, you know, higher yield is not the answer. Generating higher profit is the way to sustain your business.
Well, we've been joined today by Ken Zuckerberg, Director of Global Research with CHS, here on Around the Table. Ken, thanks so much for joining us today.
Pleasure visiting with you, Jesse, as always.
And thank you for joining us Around the Table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com. Any information or opinions presented are for informational purposes only and do not constitute trading, legal, or other professional advice. CHS makes no warranties about any information or opinions provided and shall not be liable for the use thereof or any errors or omissions therein.